I had a thought on my heart that I wanted to just share with you. And if I were to entitle it tonight, I would entitle it, Belief in Jesus Produces Life, Results in Life. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. Can I get a witness in here tonight? This morning, as my wife and I were having a devotional time, we came across a passage in the Gospel of John, chapter 6. The Gospel of John, chapter 6. And it's an incredible passage. Jesus has just done some incredible miracles. He has healed the sick. He has fed 5,000. And he begins to have this exchange with the people that were present at the time. And during that exchange, he begins to say to them, I tell you the truth, in verse 26, you want to be with me because I fed you, not because you understood the miraculous signs. He's saying there are miracles that have taken place, but you haven't understood the significance. You haven't seen quite yet what is going on through these signs. He says, but don't be so concerned about the perishable things like food. Spend your energy seeking eternal life that the Son of Man can give you. For God the Father has given me the seal of his approval. And then he goes on to say in verse 28, but they replied, we want to perform God's works too. We want to do miracles. We want to perform God's work. In the King James, it says it this way. It says, what shall we do that we may work the works of God? Jesus answered and said to them, this is the work of God, that you believe in him who God has sent, in him who he has sent, that you believe in him. And when you look at when you begin to read the Gospel of John, chapter 20, verse 30 and 31, the Bible says that the purpose of the whole book of John was that the people might believe that he is the Messiah. It says it this way. It says, the disciples saw Jesus do many other miraculous signs in addition to the ones recorded in this book. But these are written so that you may continue to believe, that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing in him, you will have life by his name, that you will have life because there is life in the power of his name. Hallelujah. And so that's the purpose of the whole book. So whatever takes place throughout the book, you have to realize that is the purpose of the book, that we might believe in the Messiah, that we might believe that Jesus is the Son of God, that Jesus is God made flesh. Hallelujah. And that believing in him, we might have life in his name. And so when you read this passage here, in chapter 6, it's within that theme, it's within that context that everything is taking place. There is one purpose here, and that's that the people that you and I might believe in Jesus, that we might place our faith in him. The Amplified Bible puts it this way, these things are written in order that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Anointed One, the Son of God, and that through believing, you might cleave to, trust in, and rely upon him. Cling to, trust in, rely upon him. CTR, a simple acronym for belief, for believing in him. CTR, cling to, trust in, rely upon. Say that with me. Cling to, trust in, rely upon him. Hallelujah. That you and I might cling to, trust in, and rely solely upon him, that we may have life in his name. Hallelujah. There is life in the name of Jesus. There is life in Jesus tonight. Hallelujah. But then the passage goes on. It says that they said to him, "What shall we do that we may work the works of God?" And Jesus answered and said to them, "This is the work of God, that you might believe in him who he sent." Now you have to understand something. When they talk about the work of God here, that what shall we do that we may work the works of God, the focus was on self. They still had that Old Testament mentality of obeying the law and trying to please God through performance. That was their focus at this particular time. But when Christ had come, the attention had to shift from the works of the law to faith in Christ. That it was through faith in Christ that they were to be accepted by God and please God. Are you with me tonight? But they weren't quite getting it yet. Verse 30 says, "Therefore they said to him, 'What sign will you perform then that we may see it and believe you? What work will you do? Our fathers ate the manna in the desert, as it is written, he," speaking of Moses, "gave them bread from heaven to eat." So you see, they're still focused on Moses. They're still focused on the Old Testament way of relating to God. Verse 32 says, "Then Jesus said to them, 'Most assuredly, I say to you, Moses did not give you bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the true bread from heaven,'" speaking of himself, speaking of Jesus. See, the old was passing away and the new was coming. The old way of relating to God, the Old Testament, was passing away because Christ came to fulfill the works of the law for you and I. He came to fulfill the Old Testament. Verse 33 says, "For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven." Who is he? Speaking of himself, Jesus, who comes down from heaven and gives life to this world. There was a glimpse there of the greater work that God would do, not just to save the Israelites, the Jews, but that he would save the world as well. There is a glimpse, a picture, a snapshot into the work of God there, that he was about to save the whole world. Verse 34, "Then they said to him, 'Lord Jesus, give us this bread always.'" Give us this bread always. It reminds me of that passage where Peter says, wash all of me. You know, it reminds me of that passage. In verse 35, it says, "Then Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger. He who comes to me shall never hunger. He who believes in me," there is that word again, "believes in me shall never thirst. But I say unto you that you have seen me and yet you don't believe." They had seen all the miracles that he was performing, but yet they still didn't believe in him. Folks, how many miracles have you and I seen? How many miracles have we seen? And yet we struggle at times, right? But let's be honest, we all struggle at times. He said, "All that the Father gives me will come to me." All that the Father, and speaking of the people, speaking of those who trust in God, "all that God has given me will come to me. And the one who comes to me, I will in no means cast out. For I am come down from heaven, not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me." Verse 39, "This is the will of the Father who sent me, that all he has given me, I should lose nothing of all that he has given me. I should lose nothing, but I should raise it up at the last day. And this is the will of him who sent me, that everyone who sees the Son and believes in him may have everlasting life. And I will raise him up at the last day." Hallelujah. So belief in Jesus would now be the central criteria to pleasing God. to pleasing God tonight. Trusting completely, solely in Jesus would be the central criteria to pleasing God. Belief in Jesus would be the means to you and I suddenly now being able to appropriate the and receive the promises of God in our life and experience the full purpose of God in the earth. Without faith, it's impossible to please God, the scriptures tell us. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. In Matthew 18, it says it this way. He called a little child and had him stand among them, stand among his disciples. Are you his disciple tonight? Stand among them. And he said to them, I tell you the truth, unless you are converted, changed, and become like a little child, in other words, humble, unpretentious, totally dependent, weak, in his weak, in our weakness, his strength is made perfect, the Apostle Paul said, and ready to be molded by the Heavenly Father, you will never enter the kingdom of God. The word converted here means to change, to turn. Unless you and I are converted, unless we change, unless we are turned and become like little children, the verb here means to change, to turn from one habit of life or set of opinions to another. Unless you and I are completely turned around from leaning on our own understanding, depending on our own strength, looking to our own selves, trying to figure out things on our own strength, folks, trying to work things out, trying to please God in our own strength. Are you with me tonight? We will never enter the kingdom of God. We can never experience the kingdom of God. We can never experience the fullness of what God has for us. Think of it this way. When you were hungry as a child, you would go to your mom or your present guardian at the time and simply say, Mom, I'm hungry. I'm hungry, right? You weren't concerned about how she had to work or how she had to go food shopping or about her cooking. You weren't worried about any of that, right? You simply trusted that she would feed you. Hello? You believe that she would do something about it. Mom, I'm hungry. You simply believe that she would do something about it, that she would provide exactly what you needed. In the same way, the Lord has given us all that pertains to life and godliness. Everything you and I will ever need in this life is found in Jesus. Hallelujah. Atonement, remission, forgiveness, complete forgiveness of our sins, atonement is found in Jesus. Acceptance. Courage. Do you need courage tonight? Comfort, deliverance from addiction is found in Jesus tonight. Direction, encouragement. Are you discouraged tonight with what you're facing? Encouragement, freedom. We sing it every Tuesday night, or almost every Tuesday night, freedom, right? And some of us get our praise on and we start jumping up and down and dancing, right? Because there is freedom in Jesus, goodness, health, healing, hope, instruction, joy, kindness, love, laughter, motivation, peace, right standing with God, salvation, strength, victory, wisdom, etc., 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 etc. It's all in Jesus. Hallelujah. All we have to do is believe and trust God tonight. Trust in Jesus. Trust in Him. Hallelujah. Verse 39 says this. This is the will of the Father who sent me, that all that He has given me, I should lose nothing. You know what that says? There is eternal security in Jesus. You and I are secure in Him. This is the will of God, that I should not lose even one of those He has given me. We, folks, we believe in the eternal security of the believer. The believer. As long as you're a believer, that's the key. A believer. You're secure. There is eternal security, folks, in Jesus, if you are a believer. Are you with me tonight? He said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. We are engraved on the palm of His hands. We are secure in His hands. He said, no one can pluck you out of my Father's hands. Jesus said to them in the same chapter in verse 20, He said, it is I, be not afraid. Don't be afraid. You are secure in my hands. Secondly, there is eternal life in Jesus. For it is, verse 40, for it is my Father's will that all who see the Son and believe in Him have eternal life. The supernatural heavenly life that awaits us in the age to come we will begin to experience in the present. Did you get that? The supernatural life that is ours in the age to come, we begin to experience right now in the present. Right now in the present. He said, he who seeks to save his life holds on to his life here, trusting in his own strength and in himself and in his own resources, will lose it. Will lose what? Will lose the eternal life, the heavenly life that God promises, the supernatural life that He promises. But he who gives up this life, trusting in himself, in his own resources, and trying to be God to himself and work things out in his own strength, will find the heavenly life that only God can give. Hallelujah. Jesus said, I came that they may have life and that they might have it more abundantly. Folks, there is eternal security in Jesus. There is eternal life in Jesus. Hallelujah. That heavenly life, the life that you and I will know in heaven, we begin to experience it right on this side of eternity. The joy, that unspeakable joy, that peace that passes all understanding. And lastly, there's an eternal body. There's an eternal body that you and I have in Christ and receive in Christ, and an eternal home in Jesus. Verse 40, it says, for it is my Father's will that all who see the Son and believe in Him, I will raise them up at the last day. Hallelujah. Yeah. This is not our home. We are sojourners, pilgrims, folks. 1 Corinthians 15:51 says it. It says, but let me reveal to you a wonderful secret. We will not all die, but we will all be transformed. It will happen in a moment. In the blink of an eye, when the last trumpet is blown. For when the trumpet sounds, those who have died will be raised to live forever. And we who are alive will also be transformed. Praise God. For our dying bodies must be transformed into bodies that will never die. Our mortal bodies must be transformed into immortal bodies. Folks, that means no more pain, no more sorrow, no more crying, no more sighing, no more dying. Then will our dying bodies have been transformed into bodies that will never die. This scripture will be fulfilled. Death is swallowed up in victory. Oh, death, where is your victory? Oh, death, where is your sting? Thank God. I said, thank God. He gives us victory over sin and death through our Lord Jesus Christ. So, beloved, be encouraged. Everything's gonna be okay. I said, everything's gonna be okay. Hallelujah. Everything's going to be okay. If you've trusted in him tonight, everything's going to be okay.